We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
All right, let's start things off with the fact. Need to know, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. If your roof has been battered for years, you're not sure it's going to make it through another winter, don't chance it. Call the guys and gals at Easton Roofing. They'll be happy to come out and give you a free inspection and a free estimate. They're the folks that have been on my roof. The experience was as good of an experience as I've ever had with any company. I invite you to call Easton Roofing at 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com, the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. That is what they cover, and they will take care of you. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied, and you will be 100% satisfied. Trust me. 913-257-5426 online at eastonroofing.com. Let's start with a little NFL news. First, Andy Reid saying today, no Mitchell Schwartz due to the back. Sammy Watkins, hamstring. Alex Okafor back on the list, hamstring. And defensive end Taco Charlton, who injured his knee late in the game, none of them will practice. Schwartz, Watkins, Okafor, Charlton. So the defensive line becoming thin again. Everybody else a full go. We'll see what happens with practice tomorrow and Friday. The Raiders are preparing to place right tackle Trent Brown on the reserve COVID-19 list. They sent home all five of their starting offensive linemen on Wednesday due to contact tracing. This is according to John Gruden. This is one of those things where it can't just be we keep groups away from groups, right? This we've talked about. What if one guy in the offensive line room gets it and you have no offensive lineman to play?
Exactly. You're done.
You know, so this is big. This is big. If the Raiders, can't play, they have to start juggling around games, or they end up playing with all backup offensive linemen. It's why you've got to be diligent, even once you're in there. Yeah, they're tested, but the tests lag behind the infectious part, right? You can be infectious before you test positive. So that's why the teams, the Chiefs, to their credit. I mean, if you can have a guy, another quarterback, be positive, and Patrick Mahomes doesn't get it, speaks to how well Rick Burkholder and the whole Chiefs organization is doing at keeping people isolated even within the building. And we got a little peek under the covers last week where they talked about some guys being via the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wonder if, like, the entire backup brigade is on Zoom and, you know, or some starters are in and some starters are Zoom to make sure that they're never getting around, whatever they're doing. To this point, knock on wood, it is working for the Kansas City Chiefs. Antonio Brown's suspension is due up after week 8, so the Seattle Seahawks are again being mentioned as a team that might have interest in Antonio Brown. Wherever he might play, and if he goes to Seattle, he's clearly going to a good quarterback. Do you think that there is anything left in the tank for Antonio Brown at this point?
Maybe a few drops, but not enough to me to risk the potential negatives.
Yeah, even if there is something left, I'm with Curtis. Why would you risk bringing in that kind of distraction into a team that's rolling along and has good leadership, seemingly, with Russell Wilson?
Now, I mean, the flip side of that, people would say, if people who would say yes would say that the fact that they have a great locker room is the reason for that. There's kind of that double edge, and would you, do you want to mess up the harmony of a locker room, or does the harmony of the locker room cause him to mold his way to it? Antonio Brown to me does not strike me as a person who could be moved by harmony, by any kind of positive outside force. I think he's destined to be a mess wherever he goes.
Again, I agree with you, Curtis. I think bringing in an insane person is never a good solution, regardless of how talented.
But we still like you.
If Tyreek Hill went down, would you be saying something different about whether or not he could fit in the locker room in Kansas City?
No, absolutely not. I said it flippantly, and I don't mean it to come off that way, but he's such a loose cannon and such a mess. He's shown it even with successful teams when he was back with the Steelers. The guy literally has no regard for anybody but himself.
It'd be a tough one for me to bring in as well. We'll hear about the locker room effect of Le'Veon Bell here in a second. First, Le'Veon Bell talking to the media for the first time as a Kansas City Chief, as I said earlier, wearing number 26. I asked him about that. We're not going to hear that here, but he said, well, they asked me what number I want. I said 26. They said it's available. I said, okay, well, Damian Williams, of course, wears 26, but I guess he doesn't get proprietary rights to it when he opts out. So Le'Veon Bell, just for what it's worth, will be wearing his traditional number 26 for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was asked, with the performance of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what does he feel? How does he feel if he might have to take a lesser role than he's used to having?
Obviously, when I decided to come here, I already knew, you know, the weapons, and it's only one football to kind of go around. So, you know, the time where I do get my opportunity, I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity to kind of show what I can do in some space, you know, running routes. I think this offense is really fit for my, you know, my skill set. I think Coach Reed does a good job of, you know, getting backs the ball in space, and I'm glad I got this opportunity.
You know, he seems to acknowledge that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there. You hear some confidence. You know, he likes Andy Reid. He likes the system that's there. But make no mistake about it, he wants to reestablish himself as a top running back and get the big payday coming out.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to just be a – I think he'd like to get a ring, but I don't think he just wants to be a you know, supporting character. I think he feels like he could get both things done. He could be an integral part, work on that next deal down the road while still – helping a team win a championship.
I think you know, listen, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Andy Reid, then everybody's going to want to come here. That's the bottom line. And if he's got any skills left, then Andy Reid's going to showcase him. He knows that, so he's obviously banking on himself. And this will be a chance for him to play high-level games on national TV on a regular basis. So it's a good move for him. And we know his running style, that kind of hesitation and patience that he shows in the backfield. He's the first guy. He and Colin Klein are actually the two guys I've seen that just kind of get behind that line and wait and wait and wait, and then the hole finally opens up and off they go. And that describes it to an effect. I thought Le'Veon Bell, number one, he almost seemed to kind of take exception with my question, like, hey, I can run a lot of different ways. Like, maybe he was being typecast, and I talked about the talent of his offensive line. I said, I'm sure you'd give a lot of credit to your linemen at Pittsburgh and how great a job they did, but that unique running style of being so patient, does it work everywhere, or is he going to have to adjust to what's in front of him and maybe a different kind of play calling?
Everybody kind of like talks about my style, and I just feel like for me personally, there's times where I'm patient and there's times where I'm not, you know, like if the hole's there, I'm going to take the hole, you know, but if it's not there, or if it's a small hole and I can create it, make it bigger, then that's when I try to improvise. I try to manipulate defenses, and that's when you see the patience kind of come in. But, you know, if I'm running, you know, outside zone or something, the hole's there, I'm going to stick my foot in the ground and take it, you know. But a lot of times in football, you see it. Defenses get paid too, so they're going to make plays. They're going to have, you know, the O-line may not get the greatest push on the D-line, and you may have to help the O-line out a little bit. You know, and that's when the kind of like the patience kind of come in. You kind of see, like, I'm kind of setting things up. So, I mean, it really depends on the play, you know. I mean, I don't necessarily try to go in thinking I'm trying to be patient. I'm just kind of reading my blocks and improvising what happens.
I like how you talked about setting guys up, just improvising. Hey, if I got to go, then I'll go, right? But, you know, if it's not there, then I kind of help set up. And I think good backs do help set their lineman up. Where he can kind of dance or hop to a side to get a defensive lineman to commit allows the offensive lineman to seal one direction, and then maybe that's what opens up the hole. So I like the answer. Confidence seems like, my style will work wherever I want to make it work. So I thought that was good to hear from Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and you don't know how much of the Steelers' running style, their play calling, took into account that style of run. And the Chiefs aren't going to change their offense to maybe suit what he does, necessarily what he does best. But I agree. I think he's good enough. He has the talent that he can excel really in any kind of offensive set with his skills. And I do agree to his earlier point that I think the offense, it's already in place. I think it fits very well with what he does. So I think he'll be, if the physical ability is there, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely getting out of the backfield, catching the ball. I think that's going to work really well for him. But, you know, we're going to get a real test from this offensive line. Maybe.
Yeah.
I felt like there have been times at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I thought that maybe Eric Bieniemy was hinting at this once, that maybe he's a little bit too anxious, that maybe the game hasn't quite slowed down to him. Because I think he's got some Le'Veon Bell-like ability, his ability to jump and hop and you know, jump cuts and make people miss, but be patient behind a great offensive line. And maybe we're finding that he's just firing up into that line before the holes really happened. And we're going to see that, you know, a little bit more patience from Le'Veon Bell, and maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire seeing that going, wait a minute, I do that too. I've got that part of my game as well. And we'll see him maybe become a little bit more patient and maybe be even more effective with Le'Veon Bell there. We all certainly hope so.
Yeah, there was one of the Seth Kaiser is one of the guys that does. I think it was Seth showed a play from Edwards-Hilaire this past Monday night where he actually did. It was one of his bigger runs where he actually showed a little bit more patience and let the double team set up, and he scooted around the left end for a 13 or 14 yard gain. So that probably is a part of his game he needs to get better at, and he's got a pretty good teacher right there in the room with him.
Yeah, and no Bell. Andy Reid talking about the locker room presence for Le'Veon Bell. You know, a lot of people question him. What, you know, even though we've played a couple of his teammates talking about him being a pretty good guy, wanted to know the question asked whether or not you know, they feel comfortable with him in the locker room. Have they done their research on Bell and what kind of teammate he is?
Yeah, we've, you know, Brett doesn't let anything slide, so he checks into everything. And then we obviously know people in a small fraternity in this league. So I think he, you know, we felt like he would fit in fine. So that would be your answer.
Didn't seem to want to entertain that at all. Yeah, we've done our background. He's going to be fine. Not angry, Andy Reid, but just no worries there.
Our small fraternity, we have sussed him out. We've done our due diligence is another term coaches like to use.
Yep, no doubt. Some college football news. LSU self-imposed penalties related to their NCAA investigation into improper booster payments to its football players. This confirmed by ESPN. So interesting how the championships work. You win a title and then you get investigated. Is that how it works?
As soon as my team wins one, I'd like to have that problem. It'd be kind of cool to have a Missouri's 2021 national championship is now under investigation. Sure, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
They don't investigate the 3-7 teams.
No, they don't. They tend to go after the ones that are fighting for something out there. Speaking of fighting for something, that would be Oklahoma State and Iowa State, the Cowboys, the Pokes, hosting the Iowa State Cyclones. Oklahoma State, a 4-point favorite in this game, and it's the biggest game. Two of the three undefeated teams, K-State the other one, a huge favorite over Kansas, but two of the three undefeated teams in the Big 12 going head-to-head. Mike Gundy expects a tough test from Iowa State on Saturday.
Oh, I think Iowa State's a really good football team. I think they're well coached. I think they've got a future NFL quarterback. The running back's playing good. Defensive numbers, they're squashing people pretty good. They're definitely a top 20 team in the country, in my opinion. So we're looking forward to a good game on Saturday.
Big breakdown there, Mike. Squashing people on defense, got an NFL quarterback, running back's pretty good. People. Looking forward to a good game. Well, okay. All right. Matt Campbell, the other side, says the Cyclones cannot put too much pressure on themselves against Oklahoma State.
We're really understood that this is a collective whole of a season, you know, and I think probably, again, some great growth for us is to realize that there's an entirety to a year. And I think the biggest thing that we've lacked doing is the ability to sustain and stay the course, and not even so much in the win and loss column, but continuing to get better as the season goes and having the chance to become the best version of ourselves.
Been kind of waiting for him to, you know, that star to shine the way we've expected. This would sure as heck be a good win this one, and that might just happen.
I feel, and it will be, and that'll validate a lot of what's been said. But, you know, he's kind of a victim of his own success and the false expectations that were built by other people. There is nothing wrong with the job he's done at Iowa State. He has done a fantastic job at Iowa State. But this is one where people who, you know, are now caught after making grandiose predictions really early, are having to find a reason why they weren't right. And it isn't going to be their fault they asked for too much too fast, right? It's got to be Matt Campbell's not getting something done. So there's kind of this negative connotation. I will say he was a guy that, you know, at least was talked about, whether it was his agent putting it out there, and he never really was a candidate. He was talked about, you know, being a candidate for the Ohio State job. And that comes with some lofty expectations. Iowa State is doing great, right? They got no problems. But if he does have aspirations of a USC, of an Ohio State, of a Florida, Georgia, Texas, you know, type of job, then this is a game he needs to win. And, you know, if you're going to be Nick Saban, Nick Saban, you know, won the Big Ten at Michigan State. You know, he took Michigan State to a high level. And Iowa State would appear to be Matt Campbell's, and Michigan State's a more storied program than Iowa State. No offense, Adam Teicher, I'm just saying. This kind of job, I'm not saying he has to go win a conference title, but with Oklahoma with a couple of losses and with Texas with a couple of losses, the door's open.
Yep.
The door's open for somebody, be that Chris Klieman in K-State, be that Matt Campbell in Iowa State, or be that finally Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State, you know, to get over the hump. And what was it, Oklahoma State and Baylor? What was the year? Did he win the league title that one year they lost the one game to Iowa State? Does Gundy have a conference championship, or did he go into the conference championship game and then lose that year?
Let me see.
I can't remember where it was. See if he's got a conference championship. Anyway, one of these three guys, the door is open, and it's moments like these when the big boys are either down Texas or tripped up Oklahoma in a couple of close games, because I still think Oklahoma's a very good team. They've never fallen out of my top 25. They will with another loss, I can tell you that. But they haven't fallen out of my top 25. But when the door opens, that's when the second-tier programs, right? It doesn't mean that you're a second-tier team. You'll be a first-tier team if you win the league. But the second-tier programs that don't have all the advantages that some of the bigger programs do, this is when you've got to lay claim and grab your championship.
2011. Won it 12-1. Went to the Fiesta Bowl. Won the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so. You know, Oklahoma State's done it. He's got his conference championship on there. Here's a chance for him to get a second. Here's a chance for Klieman to grab it. It's not every year that Iowa State, K-State, and listen, it's a COVID year, a shorter season, all those different things that are there. But it's not every year that they find themselves, you know, getting ready to grab the driver's seat on a league title, and when that opportunity is there, you got to grab it. We'll see if they're able to do it here on which one of these two is able to take a step towards doing that, Mike Gundy or Matt Campbell on Saturday. We'll take a break. We come back. We talk some NFL football. Bob Glauber, our NFL insider from the New York Newsday, is next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantland Rice, Damon Runyon. One day this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
Yes, indeed. Time to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Bob Glauber. Our NFL insider joins us here on our T-Mobile guest line, as he is wanting to do. We're always happy to have Bob here in the program. He is brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. They're at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. You know, great deals going on at Worth. And, of course, their sister store, Outlaw Harley-Davidson. Right now is a great time to get you a new Harley. Or if you've been thinking about upgrading your Harley or getting a new bike, go see them at Worth or Outlaw Harley. Get free labor with any accessory upgrade. Want to change out the pipes, handlebars, or get an engine upgrade? Labor is free on all accessory upgrades this month. Shop in person at Worth or Outlaw Harley-Davidson. Shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com or OutlawHarleyDavidson.com. Mr. Glauber, sir, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm a little rocked by that introduction, because you said you called me wanton. As he's wanton to do. No, as he's won't to do.
No.
Because
no.
Wanton means something completely different than won't.
Really? So, as he's want to do?
It's unfortunate. It's as he is want to do, as he tends to do, right? But wanton, you got to look it up. Kurt, do your thing. He's there.
Deliberate and unprovoked of a cruel and violent or violent action.
Yeah. Read the next one.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. Important.
So,
important
hello.
Tip there.
Hello.
You know, one you could have shared with me with a text later.
But it was, listen, it's why we're special.
I think I'm going to go back to wanting. I think you're wanting. We're going to leave it there.
Okay, a deliberate or so I will sucker punch you when I see you next. I will just come up to you from behind and just belt you in the ear.
Listen, whatever, hey, whatever Soren, floats your boat.
Hey, Soren, there's the wanton in me.
whatever floats your boat.
Hello.
Make it
How
happen.
Are you?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good. I hope you are as well. And I'm curious, why is everything such a disaster with the Jets? And is it easy to wipe away the last 2 years of Le'Veon Bell's career and say Adam Gase just blows?
Well, yes. I mean, it's just things have gone sideways here for the better part of, let's see, my first year covering the Jets was 89. And I would say there have been maybe 6 years in there that have been, you know, pretty decent. Maybe 10 playoff years, but maybe six really kind of unique and special years. But, man, the rest, it just gets so bad. And, you know, it's not just bad, it's historically bad this year. They're awful. They went 1-15 in 1996. That is universally regarded as the worst year in franchise history. But I'm telling you, I covered that team. That team would have wiped the floor with this team. That was actually a competitive team, especially in the first half of games. There were some close games. This team can't score points. They're lousy on defense. It's you know, Gase is overmatched. He's just not a good offensive coach. So now the one thing I hesitate about saying, you know, it was all Gase. It was not Le'Veon's fault. He's fine, and he's still got it as the premier back. He's not the premier back anymore. He's older. So we don't know. And there were times, Soren, when I watched him, and I'm like, okay, this guy's still got that burst. You know, that patented move of taking the handoff, hesitating a moment, looking for where the hole is, and then, boom, he's through it. There have been a couple of those runs, and there were a couple of those runs last time he played, you know, in a Jets uniform. But there are also times when he just looks like he's gotten a step slower, which, you know, the guy's 29 years old and 28, 29, and that happens. But I think he'll obviously be used well by Andy Reid, and Andy will know what to do with him, when to use him. To me, it's a similar move when he got LeSean McCoy, who just was not, you know, what he had been in Philadelphia. So he will perform a semi-important role in that Kansas City offense, but I wouldn't say, you know, a really important one, because they got so much good stuff around him, starting with a rookie running back, really starting with with Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. So he's another piece, and Andy Reid will figure out something to do with him, and I suspect that in a game he will come up with a play that kind of turns the tide, and that's a good thing.
I don't expect him to be what he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the Jets are just it's just
They're
a cancer.
Terrible.
Does it start with ownership there? Well, I'll come back to Bell and the Chiefs in a second, but does it start with ownership? Like, how do you hire Gase? I don't know how, unless you're just like, I got crap to do, give me somebody, anybody, and then you hired him. I mean, how did you land on Adam Gase? You're the New York freaking Jets. Like, I get that the franchise hasn't peed a drop since Super Bowl III, really, for the most part, but you're in New York City. I mean, you've got some swag. Like, how do you land on Adam Gase?
Yeah, I think a few reasons. Number one, the big mistake, and Christopher Johnson, who was running the team in Woody Johnson's absence. Woody is now the ambassador to the United Kingdom under the Trump administration, and he has been out of pocket for about 4 years. So Christopher is running the show.
He's busy setting up golf games, right, on certain courses?
No. Oh, that's Woody. That's not Christopher.
Yeah. Woody.
So Christopher means well. He's a decent person. Like, he's a good person who wants to do right by the franchise and thought he kind of had it okay. His big mistake was not firing Todd Bowles, because that, you know, that ship had sailed, the time had come. But his big mistake was keeping Mike Maccagnan the general manager when he fired Todd Bowles. So Maccagnan is you know, he stays and he kind of participates in the coach search. They turned down Cliff Kingsbury, or he turned them down. Cliff Kingsbury's a very forward-thinking coach. I don't know if they were ready for it. They thought about it, and they were intrigued by it, for sure. The big two that they turned down, that they just decided to go in another direction, were Bieniemy, and I think they felt he probably wasn't ready, and Matt Rhule. Now, Matt Rhule, by that time, had resurrected the Baylor program from the ashes. he had done a tremendous job at Temple, in kind of leading that program out of the abyss, and he had been very, very well respected with the Giants as an assistant coach before he went to Temple. So he had everything going. And at the end of the interview process, they didn't feel quite comfortable that he could get a defensive staff, especially, and kind of do the right thing. So they were concerned about who he'd hire as a staff. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Just stop it. You know, if you're going to hire a head coach, you got to trust him to get the right staff. So that was stupid, and it was micromanaged. And they let him go. And Matt Rhule is doing a really good job so far in Carolina. He's a good football coach.
Yep.
So they didn't like Mike McCarthy. And, you know, Gase was kind of like, he wasn't the consolation prize, but they felt like we've seen it before where coach does not do well. It just gets sideways in a certain spot, but he gets a second chance and it turns around, right? Belichick is the ultimate example of that. Andy Reid, but had success in Philadelphia. It went south, and then he's done tremendous work in Kansas City. So that's on a smaller level. They figured maybe Gase could be like this. And probably the thing that hurt the Jets the most was a late call from Peyton Manning, who talked to Christopher Johnson and recommended that he hire Adam Gase. They had worked together. Well, they worked together in Denver. I love the snicker.
So dumb. It's so dumb. Like, if that's like the if that was the tipping point, you're so dumb. You mean the guy? So the guy? So because he acquiesced to a veteran quarterback and gave him whatever he wanted, of course Peyton Manning's going to say great things about him. But Peyton Manning isn't lining up for the Jets, so that makes him absolutely the last guy to hire.
Right. I know.
All right. What about this time? What about this time? They're gonna fire him, right?
Yeah, I can't. They're gonna fire him. Yes.
All right. And is Eric Bieniemy gonna be the guy this time?
Well, I think Bieniemy will be. I would say Bieniemy is going to get obviously serious consideration. I just keep thinking Houston is the perfect spot for him. He gets a really good quarterback, you know, a ready-made quarterback in Deshaun Watson to work with, and I think that can really work well. Now, Bieniemy did very well in his interview with the Giants. John Mara liked him a lot. Joe Judge blew him away, and he went in that direction. So I think Bieniemy will absolutely be in play. Bieniemy's going to get a job this year. I can't see him not getting the job. So the Jets' job, you know, I don't know if he'll be tempted by Atlanta. That's an aging roster, an aging quarterback. That's a tough one. Houston seems to be a really good spot. And the Jets are, like, intriguing. You know, you don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be the guy. I don't know if we're going to know Sam Darnold's going to be the guy until draft day next year, because I think they'll hold on to him, and, you know, unless they get a huge deal. Like, if somebody blows them away this year before the trade deadline, which is early November, then, you know, Joe Douglas, the general manager, would consider it. The other coaching dynamic going on here is Joe Douglas has a great affinity for the Baltimore organization. He spent about 12 years there, 14 years, under Ozzie Newsome. He likes the Baltimore way. He believes in the Baltimore way. And there are a couple of coordinators down there, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, who's done fine work with Lamar Jackson, and Don Wink Martindale, who is the defensive coordinator, who had an interview with the Giants and did quite well last year. He's a pretty well-respected guy. He's not Rex Ryan, but well-respected, runs a good, good tight ship. And Joe Douglas, having had connections with Baltimore, we've seen that with general managers. They know people, and I just mentioned that because don't discount that. But Bieniemy will absolutely be a major focus on their search.
All right, what's a better job, Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert, or the number one pick? Forget about all the other crap. Deshaun Watson's with the Texans, so the number one, well, whoever you want to take, but yes, that would seem like the obvious no-brainer there. Maybe Justin Fields will come out and do something ridiculous. Maybe somebody wants to say Trey Lance at North Dakota State. I don't think that's it. I think it's absolutely Trevor Lawrence. What's a better job, to go where Deshaun Watson is, where Justin Herbert is, if the Chargers make a move on Anthony Lynn, which if they don't get things going, I think they'd be wise to do, or is it to go wherever the number one pick is?
That's a good question. I would say, I mean, all three are really, really attractive. The problem with Houston is that, you know, Bill O'Brien left him in shambles draft-wise because he just, you know, gambled and lost, you know, with Laramie Tunsil, you know, giving away first-round pick and so many high picks. So, and Herbert is proving to be really good. I do think that, see, it is the Jets, though, so you always have to come back to that. Organizationally, you can't discount and ignore that history. It's not good. But here's why I consider Joe Douglas the most important person in New York sports. That this guy, it's all the pressure is on him. If he can figure it out, if he can get the right quarterback, get picks, and he is getting picks. He got two first-round picks for Jamal Adams, who did not want to be with the Jets. That's pretty good work. So he's doing that part. But if he can pick the right players and get people in spots that are really good and turn it around, that guy will – I mean, that guy's got a chance to go to the Hall of Fame because this team is at rock bottom. And I'm not exaggerating. They're terrible.
Will
so
anybody
take –
kind of
lift them out, if he can lift them out, it's going to be an heroic lift like George Young did with the Giants in, you know, 79. He came to them. They were the Jets of their era. They were horrendous.
And
George Young built them out of that abyss.
All right. Well, out of the Atlanta Falcons, Minnesota Vikings, Washington Football Team, New York Giants, Los Angeles Chargers, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, Cincinnati Bengals, or New York Jets. Those are all the one-loss teams except the Eagles, which I don't think are going to be our one-win teams, one win or less, teams that are out there. Will any of those teams tank for the number one pick? And if not, what the hell are they thinking?
Yeah. Well, the Jets would be the team to me to tank. Now, I don't know if they do it overtly, but, Surin, they are so undermanned.
Why not? Here's my point, Bob. You don't even have fans. There's not even fans in the stands. Why wouldn't you tank it out and get the franchise quarterback? Has it not been proven to be the only way out of this long-term? Like, I'll make you a case. If the Jets will tank, it's a way better job than the Giants because the Giants are going to fart around for two more years on whether or not Daniel Jones is the guy.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, get to the Jets or you get to any of these other teams and you take Trevor Lawrence and you're off and running.
Yeah. Listen, I think if the Jets end up with the number one pick and get Trevor Lawrence and convince Trevor Lawrence to – know that this can be a workable situation, which might take some convincing. I mean, I think everybody's afraid of the Jets because of what they've represented over the years. But on paper, that can be a really good situation. You got a really good left tackle. Mekhi Becton looks like he's going to be a really good left tackle. All right, that's important. You know, you start there and you get a quarterback. So you get a second year offensive tackle and a first year quarterback. You're set there for, you know, 12 years, and then you got to get defensive playmakers. They just have no pass rush, and they're playing with one hand behind their backs. So there's a lot to build there, and a lot to redo. But it is a ground up type situation that, with the right decisions, can be one of the great success stories personnel wise in maybe in NFL history because this team is so historically bad.
Is the difference between the Raiders and Dolphins that the Dolphins went for it with the quarterback? We're going to see Tua get the start coming up in Week 8 when they come back. Is that going to be ultimately the difference? I mean, the Dolphins are also, they've got the Texans first-round pick, which could be a top-5 pick as well. Is that going to ultimately be the difference that they went for the quarterback and the Raiders played it safe?
I think that's a fair assessment. You know, Derek Carr is who he is, and he can be really good. He can be like, he can carry a team on his back, and he just, or he can't. Like, and it's just, you just sometimes don't know from week to week, right? But the Dolphins, man, they tore it down. They burned it all down last year. They did. And they started out with 0-7, and then Brian Flores had a nice second half of the season, commanded respect. All right, people thought, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, knows what he wants. And then Chris Greer does a really good job personnel-wise, the general manager, in making those trades and getting huge value, you know, for Minkah Fitzpatrick, for Laramie Tunsil, for a couple of other key players. and they build it up, and they are in great position. You know, they're better position than the Jets because they got their quarterback. And, you know, it is what it is as far as the timing of that move. It's time to go to Tua. I know Fitzpatrick is, you know, heartbroken
well
about it, but the guy's 37 years old, and he's not their future. Read the room, man. Come on. Right? I mean, really? Did I play my last game? Come on.
Hey, listen, the guy's had a good career. I mean,
that guy has been played for 8 teams, and his lifespan has been far more than he could have ever expected. He's like a better version of Josh McCown, who I love. And Josh McCown is grateful for every single opportunity he's had. He had a tremendous football life. Played for a million teams, made a million friends, and he's great. I'd like to see him be a head coach one day because that guy knows and loves football, and he will be good.
I would like to see Fitzmagic be a broadcaster one day. He's a Harvard guy. He's bright.
He'd be funny. I wonder if he'd accept. I don't think they'll do it because, you know, they got to protect Tua. I wonder if they would consider moving him, or he is, you know, banking on the idea, well, if he says enough, he could shoot his way out. I don't think that'll happen, but you never know. I mean, the trade deadline is, what, a couple of weeks away, and stranger things have happened. And a lot of teams do need quarterbacks. Like, you know, the Cowboys, you think they wouldn't want Fitzpatrick right now after, you know, whiffing on Dalton? I don't know.
I've always been a fan. I've always said he's, you know, 85, you know, somewhere between 75% and 90% of the top tier quarterbacks out there, but you get him at, you know, 5% of the price. So he's way better than guys like, frankly, Matt Ryan with a huge bloated contract. Like I'd rather be in that situation.
Yeah.
Real quick here, a couple things. Antonio Brown to the Seahawks. Can we just stop with this, please? Can we just stop reporting where Antonio Brown is? Could he, like, you know, pee a drop again before we worry about where Antonio Brown is?
Well, I think he can be a good player again. But, you know.
Just like Le'Veon Bell?
No, I think it'd be easier for Brown to be okay. But I still, you know, it's still a risk. But people love speed, man, and he's still got speed. Brady sulked the rest of the year after they dumped him last year. He never got over it, and that kind of tells you something about a player. And they'll forgive so much in this league. And you know, this like Seren, don't forget, there's no guarantee that a team that signs him won't still have to keep him on the bench because they're still investigating his sexual assault issues. So he's not completely out of the woods just yet. He might be. He'll get reinstated, but he still could get suspended.
Do you have information, real quick, Bob? Do you have information that the Seahawks are really looking at him?
I do not.
So doesn't this just smell like the agent pumping some things out here and some NFL guy swallowing the hook and putting that out there? Why would anybody go down that road with Antonio Brown with what's hanging over his head?
Well, because the Seahawks were sniffing around before. The Ravens were even sniffing around last year before he was taken off the field.
And then they're like, okay, by the way, this is what he's up against, and this is the PR nightmare that it'll be. Okay, we're out. I expect it to be the same.
No, like elite teams are looking at him.
Okay.
So I don't, but who is, I don't even know who, honestly don't know who the agent is because Drew Rosenhaus fired him. Like, when you see an agent fire a player, very seldom, but Drew Rosenhaus fired Antonio Brown. I don't know if he has an agent right now.
But that's my point, Bob. I said, do you have anyone telling you that these teams are actually looking at him? And you said no, and then you turned around and said elite teams are looking at him. I'm not sure that I buy that they are.
I'm talking about before. I'm talking about last year when there was talk that he was going to be let back into the league.
Okay.
And he just stayed on the commissioner's exempt list until now.
All right, let's get to our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health Center. You have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury? The University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. They've added extended hours during the week and have a Saturday morning walk-in clinic in Overland Park. Request an appointment right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this, Bob. Is Dak Prescott a Cowboy next year, yes or no?
Yes, I think he's a Cowboy for the rest of his career. I think they're seeing what life's like without him, and it's not good, and I think they'll sign him.
All right. Does Antonio Brown have another 1,000-yard season left in his career?
No.
Okay. So why are you bothering? The NFC East winner's record will be what?
I'm going to just 7-9. But if I want to say 6-10 or even 6-9-1, it's not going to totally shock me.
So give me something. If you say 7-10, you're not picking the Eagles.
6-9-1 is the Eagles. 7-9 would be
anybody else.
It could be 6-10.
I know.
But I think it'll be the Eagles and possibly at 6-9-1.
6-9-1. I'm going to put you down for that.
Put me down for the Eagles at 6-9-1.
I got you. Finally, the NFL MVP, when it's all said and done, will be who?
Russell Wilson. Race is over. I think it'll be Wilson.
Yeah, he's going to have to lose it because Patrick Mahomes already got one. And the way you NFL puts his vote, you guys all sit there, like, well, we'll have lots of other opportunities instead of actually doing what the award is. Ridiculous.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. We love you, Bob. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
All right, man. Talk to you.
All right, Bob Glauber, the great Bob Glauber from the New York Newsday. He is the man. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. They're right up there by the airport, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Get there today. You can check them out online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
I forgot the question. I do that a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense into the hour answer. Dodgers won by 5 last night. What team had the biggest margin of victory in a World Series game one? That's Boston. They beat Colorado 13-1 in 2007.
Are you saying it's going to be that kind of series?
I don't think so. I can see it in 5, though.
You like the Red Sox coming back? No. Not Red Sox. Rays coming back?
Nah.
No? They are a dog tonight.
Dodgers get it done.
I don't know. I kind of like Blake Snell. I like Blake Snell in this one. By the way, Good Sense, you can get it with the app. Go to the Good Sense. Go to the App Store and download the Good Sense thing. Easiest way. Remembers your last order. You have different multiple ways to pay. It's how we order in my house. Out at the soccer field, whip out the phone. Boom, 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 boom. A few clicks, and we're grabbing Good Sense on our way home. Slicing the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. They bake the bread fresh twice each day. Get the Good Sense tonight on your way home and enjoy the World Series. We've got it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB coming up after crunch time with Frank Bohl and Tim Grunar. We didn't really get to get into the World Series. We'll see how this game goes. That's some interesting stuff. Do the Rays play un-Ray-like baseball? They certainly did as far as the pitching moves went last night, not getting the hook. They're the team that's supposed to be the quickest with the hook, and they waited too long with Tyler Glass now. We'll see what they do with Blake Snell tonight. You'll hear it right here on All the Big, the home of all the big sporting events. Sports Radio, 810 WHB.